fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fuel, the podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership within the automotive industry. Fuel is bringing you the latest in proven strategies and techniques that can take your service department to the next level.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Alex Keith, here, and I've got Mr. Jason Yates, Corporate Fix Operations Director for all the Hudson stores. How many stores you got now?
It'll be 53 on March 4th.
53 stores. How do you keep up with 53 stores?
I got some really good teammates. I got regionals that oversee, 9 to 12 stores apiece that are pretty much, boots on the ground visiting the stores, regularly. And then they report to me and we strategize. And, I usually visit the stores, if there's a new director or GM or if there's a 911 is usually when I go into the store. So.
Nice. I mean, 53 stores. I mean, how did you get into this business to be to a point where you're the fixed ops guy over 53 stores?
So it's a funny story. So in high school, I started in my senior year at a little Hyundai store, washing cars part-time, weekends, after I got out of school, graduated high school, I was still there. All my buddies went to college. And me and my other buddy said, okay, well, let's go sign up at this community college. So we were standing in line about 30 minutes and I was up next to go and enroll myself. And I looked at my buddy, I said, I'm not doing this. I said, I'm going to stick with automotive. So I actually jumped the line and got out. And, it started from there. I was an advisor at that same store when I was 18, and I was actually managing that store right when I turned 19.
Nice. And, 18 years old. Nissan
store. Yeah. Moved to a bigger Nissan store in Charlotte and started as an advisor. And when I left that store 11 years later, I was the fixed ops director, moved to Clearwater, Florida for a bigger opportunity, and was the fixed ops director over 6 stores for Loki Automotive. And I was there for 10 years, and our COO there, which is a dear friend and still my boss, TC Staten, was my COO in Florida. And he joined Mr. Hudson in 2014, in August of 2014, and was trying to pull me out from the beginning. And I was like, no, I've got a maid here. Mr. Loki's got me set up to where, I can retire in 15 years and, I'm going to stick with it. So he said, well, I just want you to meet David. So I said, okay, I'll meet David. So he flew me in, met Mr. Hudson in Charleston. And man, I've never met anybody like this guy. I still said no. And then they flew into Tampa, Florida, where I lived in February of 15. And I met with Mr. Hudson and TC again. And on that drive home is when I decided I'm making the move. When I got here, we had 6 stores.
Wow. 6 to 53. Wow.
That was early. It was early 2015. There was four people in the corporate office. It was Mr. Hudson, his assistant, TC, at the time was a CFO, and then Adam Sharon, which is our F&I director, corporate F&I director. That was it. So I was the 5th corporate employee, and now we have over 200.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Just starting at the base level and seeing it grow. That's got to be fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I can kind of relate.
I pulled my son into the business, unfortunately. He was he got a scholarship for baseball and got injured in between his towards labrum in between his freshman and sophomore year and said, Dad, I've been doing this since I was 3 years old. I'm ready to make money. So I said, all right, well, I'll get you an interview, and that's all I'm doing. So he started out as a porter, become an advisor, was in the top 5 of the group in no time, and now he is the service manager at our biggest Nissan store here in Charleston.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. That's pretty cool to see him grow into that role. Yeah, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I made the mistake of saying, I want to go to work with you today, Dad.
And
he said, you're going to learn all of it. So, from washing cars to apprenticing to being everywhere, I kind of grew up at it. And I can kind of also relate to all the new faces you're dealing with at your, with your expansion. At Dynatron, we've had an explosion of coaches across the board. So we just had a client success meeting of all the division. And when you look around, there's like over 200 people in the room, and we started off with like 15. So it's pretty impressive on how that gets going. So now you made that jump, and then you're bringing on all of these stores. Like, what would you say is the biggest drive in your group and with Mr. Hudson to just keep expanding these stores? Like what's the purpose of starting off with 4 and then now getting to 53?
You know, I think, David is one of the most humble individuals I've ever met. You wouldn't be able to tell him apart from really anyone. I mean, he's very humble, but he likes to win, and he wants to be the best, and that makes us all want to be the best. So, you know, when we take over these stores, generally they're underperforming is the reason that we're interested in the purchase. But, you know, I think going in and meeting all these new folks that are, you know, sitting on the edge of their seats, not knowing what's going to happen, you know, and I always tell them, hey, we don't have a busload of people to bring in here. You're our people. You know, you're going to be on this journey with us. And just seeing, you know, the increase in revenue, which, you know, increases everybody else's income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had an advisor at our Hoover store, our Hoover Toyota store in Alabama. You know, when we took it over after the first week, after the buy sale, you know, I stayed that whole week and worked with the whole service staff. And he came to me and he said, hey, I want to learn everything that you know. He said, can we have a call every week? And when you come visit, can you, you know, mentor me? Well, now he's the service drive manager, but he was making close to $300,000 a year after we took over.
Wow.
As an advisor, bought his first house, bought a new car, and he's got his wife became pregnant, was getting ready to start a family.
Wow. So developing and changing
somebody's life.
That's fantastic. That is awesome. So, I mean, like, what would you say are some struggles getting to that point?
I think, you know, getting them to trust and get their buy-in, which I think we do a pretty good job of it, because, you know, we go in and, you know, we're not trying to change anything. I'm going to say, hey, you're not going to make a dime less than you're making now. My goal is you're going to double your pay. That's what I'm after. So just trust me, trust the process, listen, learn, follow it. And I promise you it works. So, you know, seeing that transpire and you know, getting their buy-in, once you get their buy-in and they start seeing, you know, hey, this is a great company to work for. You know, their core values are amazing. You know, the folks that they bring in to assist us, we got more support than we ever had in the past. And, you know, and it all funnels down into, you know, my happiness and my compensation.
That's fantastic. So again, it's just like, you know, coming on board with you is almost like a restart to some extent for people in the industry, you know, been doing it a certain way. And then you guys kind of come in and open up even more opportunity for them to be successful. So is that something you enjoy?
I love it. Yeah. We're very forward thinking. So I'm always looking, you know, hey, how can we increase our service market share? You know, to do that, we've got to have the capacity to handle it. So, you know, I've got a whole technician recruiting, development, training team that I started here on the corporate level about 2 years ago. And they hired right out 1,000 technicians for the group last year. And
1,000 technicians?
Yep. Just out of the fifth person in the Nashville market. So I'm looking, you know, I'm looking at 1,400 technicians this year. And then we just hired a corporate tech trader that's going around to each region and training all of the entry-level technicians,
mm-hmm.
and getting them certified in about 10 different op codes, all your maintenance op codes, alignments, brakes, fluid exchanges.
Nice.
Things like that. So we can get these guys, you know, up and running. And then we put them into a tech mentor program after they graduate from that with a seasoned technician for, you know, 60 to 90 days until they become 100% productive. And then they branch out on their own. And, you know, there's no more just changing all rotating tires.
See, and that's like one of the biggest struggles that I keep hearing is tech retention and building techs and things like that. So, I mean, you said you developed your own program. Like, when did this idea get birthed, so to speak? Like, when did this come up as far as this is a thing?
It was right before COVID. It was, let's see, Joe just completed it was the end of 2021. So it was during COVID. And Joe Hall is he's my fixed ops support director on my team that, you know, he heads this whole team up, and he was our Nissan DTS for all of our Nissan stores. So he was the, you know, the technical guy with Nissan that would go around our stores and help diagnose and fix problem cars. And we just developed a great relationship. And I said, hey, if you ever think about leaving, you know, Nissan, you know, I've got an idea. So he said, well, share it with me. And I told him, he said, all right, I'll turn my notice in tomorrow.
Wow.
So
he didn't give you the no that you gave Mr. Hudson? Nah. No, he didn't give you the.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So he's built this thing from ground up. You know, I give him most of the credit because he had the vision, and you know, he put it in front of me, and I'm like, whoa, buddy, this is way bigger than I was thinking. You know, let's just start easy. You know, he's like, well, I need four people right now. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, let's get this thing drawn out. Let's go sit down in front of Mr. Hudson and TC, show them our vision, because this is very expensive. I mean, we spent millions of dollars. You know, we do 8 career fairs a year. We sponsor all of the local trade schools and things like that. So we've got, we've got a pipeline of entry-level folks that come to us when they graduate.
That's outstanding.
We do a tuition reimbursement.
Oh, wow.
A tool package. We do a tech retention bonus at the end of the year where they get paid so much for every hour they flagged, you know, the previous year. So, you know, some of these guys are getting checks for $6,000 to $7,000. We paid out $1.2 million last year just in that tech retention bonus.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, would you say that it's gotten to the point where it's very efficient and effective, or do you think there's still some room for growth and expansion in this program?
There's definitely room. The biggest thing that you know we're struggling with is, you know, we're getting the hires, but we're losing, you know, 60% of what we're actually bringing in. Mm. So our tech needs is shrinking, but not at the rate that I want it to. So what we did for that is I brought Rob Fallows on, which is our technician trainer, and our turnover. And so we put our techs in four buckets. You got tech one, tech two, tech three, tech four. So a tech one is any hourly tech, mm-hmm. which we really don't encourage at all. We're trying to completely get that bucket to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Tech two is a flat rate tech, and they're generally your express level one and two technicians that do, you know, oil changes, tire rotations, alignments, brakes, fluid exchanges, things like that, all of your maintenance stuff. So we've got a program where we're training these ones and twos to become pretty much self-sufficient. I think that's really going to help with our retention. We just launched our first training session last week in our Greensboro market, and it went over incredible. And they're back again this week to finish up, with that training. They get certified, they get a little plaque to put on their toolbox, they get a certificate, and they get a set of tools, which, more advanced tools that they wouldn't have for just their regular work they were doing.
That's cool. It's kind of like a graduation deal for them.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, you said something interesting earlier.
Now they feel they have a purpose. You know, we created this whole career path. So, you know, we start them on this career path, and hopefully, you know, they'll go from a tech two to a tech three within 12 months. And then that's when they started getting their ASEs and their manufacturer certifications. And then, you know, when they graduate into a tech four, that's pretty much, you know, a master tech. You know, nice. ASE certified or a manufacturer master.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, as far as like, once you get these guys involved and graduated in the program, like, did you see your retention numbers like immediately skyrocket, or was it kind of an effect over a period of time?
Well, you know, we just launched this. Really, last week was our first week of the new training program. So, you know, I'll be out in probably 4 to 6 weeks, I'll be able to tell you, yeah, it worked. And I think it's going to work because, you know, when the tech team goes into a store and they interview the technicians, they're asking them, hey, you know, what would be the reason if you were to leave, what would be the reason? Because I don't see any room for advancement. You know, yeah. They put me back here in this bay and no one ever talks to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing a good job. I'm not really learning anything. So that's really the reason that we're having all this turnover. And I think that's true for any store out there, you know, because generally, you know, the service director gets busy. He don't have time to sit down every week with, you know, with this entry-level tech and say, okay, your productivity this week was 60%. Good job. You know, let's see if we can get it to 70% next week. I mean, we don't do that. We do a terrible job of that. So that's what we're trying to instill into the store. You know, hey, service director, you've got 20 technicians back there that need attention. They need to know where they're at, where they're going, what they're failing, and what they need to, you know, to do to improve. And that's why we're losing these guys.
I mean, that's the one thing we're all running out of is time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, well, I want to go back to something you said interesting earlier. You know, that the acquisition of these stores, you know, they're declining or failing stores and things like that. So when you're going in and you're taking over a store and you start really opening up their eyes, what are the biggest struggles and the biggest areas that you start to attack first, I guess you would say?
So, and this is true for every store. So I've been a part of 48 acquisitions, maybe 49. And the technicians are always the biggest, because when we go into these stores, they're being overpaid on the not on the dollar amount, but on the actual flat rate time amount.
Oh.
So for instance, like, they're being paid 2 hours for an alignment, 2 hours for a brake job, you know, with the effective labor rate in the store is like in the 70s and 80s.
Mm.
So, you know, we'll meet with the tech and say, hey, you know, we don't pay 2 hours for an alignment, we pay an hour. It takes literally 20 minutes. It's, you know, these days with this equipment, it's basically a toe adjustment. And I said, it takes 20 minutes and I'll time you real quick to prove it to you. Well, I don't care how long it takes. I get 2 hours and I want 2 hours. And I said, okay, well, hold on 1 second. I said, you did three last month. I'll sell you five today. And they're like, well, there's no way. So, you know, we do spiff, throw money around, make a big deal out of it. And every single time, whatever I tell these guys, we always pull through. And, you know, and another thing, these are usually your master techs that should not be doing this work anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I said, okay, you know, Mr. Master Tech, you're making $35 an hour. This is D-level work. I'll pay you $20 an hour and you can have your 2 hours. Well, I'm not doing that. That's the biggest struggle is, but, you know, once they see these hours we start generating, that goes out the window quickly. And then usually the next visit when I come in, they'll come up and they'll you know, hug me and say, hey, you were right, brother. I'm turning 20, 25 more hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting to, and I have conversations all the time with people when I ask them, like, why are you paying this to do this service? Like, especially like alignment for 2 hours, why are you doing it? Well, it's always been that way. Always done it that way. And I'm like, guys, we aren't using strings anymore. You know, you have technological advancements that's made this so much better. And then also, you know, getting them to buy into what you're trying to do. I mean, do you say that once you kind of get over that hump, you know, that initial, this is what we're doing and how we're doing it, that the buy-in is even more from the technicians once they kind of see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I get every store to post, you know, put a scoreboard up in the shop. And that, you know, that's usually brings up a lot of negative conversation as well. But, you know, because part of my process is the technician goes, you know, we put their daily goal up there. Say it's 9 hours. Well, the next morning, the technician goes up there and writes, okay, Monday, if he did below 9 hours, he writes it in red. If he did above 9 hours, he writes it in green. So they don't want to see any red. So, I mean, it's some kind of psychological thing that really works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're pushing to get that 9 hours. They don't want to be below that 9 hours because everybody else in the shop's going to see it.
Yeah. My dad had a funny story. He told me he had an issue with the techs cleaning their bays before they leave and everything over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So he picked up a traffic cone on the way to work one day, and he went and put it in the dirtiest bay. And the dude comes in. He's like, what's this cone doing here? So he goes and he says, what's this cone? He's like, if there's a cone in your bay, you don't get no work till your bay's clean. And so then if you want to the shop clean, he just puts the cone out in the shop. And then, but the funny part is how that, like you said, they don't want to be in red, but I think it's more of the other technicians that's going to get on them for being in the red. And that's what everybody said to there. Like, you had a cone in your bay. They'd be like, oh dude, you got coned and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
They don't want their buddies and their coworkers to see, oh man, buddy, you only did 6 hours today. What's going on?
You better get to work, man.
Yeah. Quit taking all those breaks and those 2 hour test drives.
Get off your phone, get away from the parts counter.
No doubt.
So that's the kind of the, you know, the technician side. Are you seeing any struggles on the front side with like the service riders and the service managers and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, you know, because part of our process, you know, I kind of, you know, I believe in running the service drive as a sales department.
Mm, nice.
So, you know, in F&I, you're not going to sit in that F&I office unless you're going to present a menu to 100% of the people, 100% of the time, 100% of the product. And that's what we require on the service drive. You know, you're presenting a menu to every single customer based on time and mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually a struggle. And, you know, we give them some slack in the first, you know, 30 days just so they can get used to it. And then we also require, you know, any safety or repair item that gets declined, it's got to be TO'd to either the service drive manager, service manager, or service director. Just like up front, you know, a sales manager, a salesman is not going to let a customer walk out the door unless the sales manager talks to him.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I believe in the same philosophy. If a customer's got 2 millimeters on their brakes and they decline it and they're leaving, where are they going? They're going somewhere else.
Exactly.
Why? It's not usually prices, but they didn't understand it. The advisor didn't do a good job of explaining it. So when you put them in front of another face, and that service drive manager said, okay, well, here's what 2 millimeter means. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was that bad. Yeah, go ahead and do it. I mean, that's, you know, that's, we lose so much work just because we're not taking the time to really build the value and explain to the customer where they can really understand it. So that's where, you know, we implemented video multi-point inspections in all of our stores. And as a group, we're at 86% utilization, which is pretty good.
Yes.
My goal is 90%, but, you know, that sells itself. You know, I tell the advisor, you know, bring the customer over if they're waiting and let's look at the video together. So you can say, okay, right here is your brake pad. Here's your rotor. In between that is the amount of pad you have left, which is paper thin. Here's what a new pad looks like. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Let's go ahead and do it.
Well, I mean, I really think that's definitely evolved the process and the communication with the customer. I mean, we've been getting beat up since 2008, you know, I would say, you know, ever since the media got involved and all the dealership's going to do is take your money from you and things like that. Now with this technology and making them more a part of the process, they get to see what the technician's looking at. They get to see what they're recommending and why they're recommending it. And like you said, sitting down with them and helping them be more a part of the process and understand fully what they're getting and the value of what they're getting. I think that's better than ever.
You know, I think NCM or someone did a study and asking the customer, you know, who in the dealership do you trust the most? And I think it was 70 something percent of like a pool of 1,000 customers said the technician.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that is coming from the technician, which is the doctor, you know, the advisor is the nurse, mm-hmm. doing all the pre stuff, checking blood pressures and all that. The doctor is doing the diagnosis and delivering the findings. So, you know, when I was an advisor, I used to bring every customer that I could back to the shop and show them and let the technician explain, why are we recommending this axle seal or this axle boot? Why are we recommending this and that and this and that? And I'm telling you, your closing percentage goes up into the 70, 80% range.
Really? When you do that. 70 and 80%. That's outstanding.
Yeah. I mean, if you bring them out there and show them and you have the technician explain, okay, this CV boot is supposed to be intact. It's split open. All the grease is slung out. Your axle's still okay. But if you continue driving like this, you're going to have to replace the whole axle, which is another $400.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a no brainer. There's grease all underneath the car. The customer can see it. I mean, it's, you know, visual is where it's at.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of rolling right in my wheelhouse with the medical analogies. I can tell you that. I was did another podcast with our group, and I told them that I used to tell my guys, hey, the only difference between you and the surgeons is they got blood and guts on them, and you got oil and grease on you, you know,
exactly.
But you're professionals in your craft, and you're really, I mean, some of the things that technicians can do and see and understand are absolutely impressive. I mean, it's really is an art and a craft that, you know, more people should definitely, you know, look into. When they have a passion for the automotive industry and things of that nature.
Yes,
so kind of bringing things together. I mean, one of the things I was going to ask you about was you're part of this FOVPG that we're developing, you know, yep. And in some of the struggles that we see and in talking, you know, like you said, communication's a big struggle from the front end of the store to the back end of the store. And with the model that you guys bring of treating sales like service to an extent, what do you see this VPO, this FOVPG starting to do with the general managers and the fixed ops, you know, bringing them together in that communication?
No doubt. Because, you know, as pretty much industry-wide, 90% of the GMs are variable guys. They come into the variable department. It's no different in our group. You know, that's one of my biggest struggle is, you know, getting these GMs to understand they have a service department back there. Go back there, spend time, observe, you know, make sure the customer is being greeted promptly, make sure that there's menus being presented, make sure the TO process is happening, make sure that MPIs are getting done in quarter time and up to the advisors. I mean, you've got to monitor this stuff and hold your director accountable. Meet with him once a week and let's go over all these metrics. And, you know, I've got our best stores in the group, our top 10 stores in the group in fixed ops. The GM is very involved. And that's the difference maker. So, you know, I think I'm really starting to get traction now. You know, I'm getting on. We do a tech needs call with all the stores, you know, region by region every week with the tech team. And the GMs are starting to get on and they're starting to understand, man, I really need to add, you know, I'll get on from time to time and say, hey, you know, Ed, in one of our four stores, you can't make an appointment at your store for 2 weeks. You know, I want to get an oil change. You're 2 weeks out. What is that? Customer's going to wait 2 weeks? He said, yeah, they love us. I'm like, no, they don't, brother. They're going to do what's convenient for them. They're hanging up and they're calling somewhere else and they're driving into one of these Take Fives or Jiffy Lubes and we're losing them to the aftermarket. You know, they already got 70% of our business after 3 years, you know, of ownership. 70% of the customers are defecting to the aftermarket. We got to stop that. And the only way we're going to be able to stop that is when the customer wants to come in, we've got to say yes. And the only way to do that is to be staffed up in the shop and in the service drive. And I'm finally starting to get them to understand this. And I'm like, you want to grow your revenue, you want to grow your gross, you want to grow your service market share, your CPRO count. All this goes into that. You've got to have the staff to be able to perform that.
That's outstanding. So, well, as we kind of come down to the close of this episode, what I always love to do is give my guests the final say, you know, something that they can give out there to the industry and all the listeners and things like that. So, you know, if you're sitting in a group of people with, you know, general managers, fixed ops people, or people who really don't even know the automotive industry that well, I mean, like, what's something that you would say, hey, this is something that you need to be looking at, or this is something you need to be focused on?
Signing up with Dynatron. not just saying this because it's your podcast. Seriously, I've been a partner with these guys since it was way back in the day when it was Keeps in 94. So I've been utilizing Keeps, Rome's, Dynatron from 94 through today. And I would never, ever, if I went somewhere else, which I don't intend on, you know, one of my negotiations would be, you know, we've got to bring this program into the store. I don't have any interest. But no, seriously, because you can dissect your business, you know, 100 different ways. And then, you know, you got the coaches that are helping you through it and opening your eyes to other opportunities. And, you know, the support's great. The software is next level. And seriously, that's one thing I would say.
That's fantastic. Well, Jason, thank you so much for your time today, man. Thank you for coming on the show and everything. You think you'll come back?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Let me know.
Absolutely. All right. I conclude this episode for our Fuel Podcast today. Jason, thanks you again, brother.
All right, brother.
Thank you for joining another episode of the Fuel Podcast. Always be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to be notified when new episodes are being dropped. And click the link below to review any of the show notes for additional information. Or you can email the Fuel Podcast with the link, as we encourage any feedback or any questions or comments from our listeners. Until next time, I'm your host, Alex Keith, with the Fuel Podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership.